At the United States Postal Service, we deliver fast and affordably for small biz, big box, large scale, wholesale, retail, B2B, B2C, ASAP. USPS, delivering for America. Learn more at usps.com/delivering.
When it comes to your child's education, you have a better tuition-free choice in your community. Charter Schools USA is committed to providing high-quality education to all students, regardless of zip code. Our schools offer innovative teaching approaches, immersive tech-rich environments, and collaborative learning spaces that help students achieve their full potential, all backed by safety measures parents trust. To find a Charter Schools USA school near you, visit topcharterschools.org.
Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. On the program, I have Julie Sapper and Lisa Levin. They are the hosts of the Run Farther and Faster podcast. The podcast is dedicated to the sport of running, as it features a wide range of interviews from doctors to athletes to weekend warriors. It also provides information to coaches and runners of all levels. On the program, we recap the 2022 running of the Boston Marathon. What were the differences between this year's marathon and last year's marathon? How the city of Boston responded to this year's marathon, and much more. Julie and Lisa are coming up after the break. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Robinson Show.
An avid cyclist dreams of turning his passion into a business. He consults his banker to help find the best path. Now bike wheels are being built, and all it took was a little push to get rolling. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Clint.
That's Satsuma IPA, made with local Satsumas. How local?
Wow, the groom looks great.
He does. Never seen a Saints jersey with tails.
Local as black and gold everything. Try Satsuma IPA from Faaberg Brewery.
Comes out of the shadows of the Boston Public Library, gets one more direction to the finish. And Evans Chebet, embraced by this Patriots Day crowd in Boston, will be the 2022 Boston Marathon champion, besting the deepest field in history. Evans Chebet, your winner.
I do think Dickman's knees are coming higher, which is better in a sprint. They missed the course record, but they're going to come awfully close. And as soon as I say that, such a tear comes through. She just has so much strength and so much willpower. She is just willing herself to throw in another surge and another surge.
And now Chepchechir with the lead and maybe a stride. Can Yeshine respond one more time, or it will be the Olympic champion coming through? They can see the finish line now on Boylston Street. And when one of the greatest races in Boston Marathon history, on the 50th anniversary of the first ever women's elite field, the best marathoner in the world on the women's side is going to come through with a victory, but needed every stride to get to the finish line first. Paris Chepchechir is the Boston champion.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. That audio is courtesy of NBC Sports and the BAA, the Boston Athletic Association, as Evans Chebet and Paris Chepchechir were the winners of this year's Boston Marathon, the 2022 Boston Marathon, that is. And when you think of the Boston Marathon, it's one of the highly esteemed races in all of the world, where people from all over the world get the opportunity to compete, whether it be in 5K, the 10K, or in the marathon. And definitely this is a race that has been endeared for so many decades and continues to stay strong post-COVID. And I have these two ladies back on the program. They were great the first time around, and I'll have them back on to recap some of the many great things about this year's running of the Boston Marathon. We want to welcome Julie Sapper and Lisa Levin from the Run Farther Faster podcast. Ladies, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having us, Ed. It's great to be back.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you again for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on the program. Julie, I'd like to start off with you. What was the atmosphere like in this year's running of the marathon?
Oh, Ed, it was so special because, as we talked about previously on your show, we ran the anomalous 2021 Boston Marathon in October, which was the first and hopefully only time that Boston was held in the fall due to the cancellation of the race in 2021 in the spring due to COVID. So coming back to Boston during the time it usually occurs, which is, of course, on Patriots Day, which is on Monday, and running the race on Patriots Day on a beautiful, sunny day, the fans were out. They were incredible. The spectators were encouraging, excited to be there, and the energy throughout the entire weekend was palpable. I think everyone appreciated not just having the opportunity to convene for the Boston Marathon in 2022, but to be able to do it on Patriots Day. It was really something.
Sounds like it was a festive day in Boston. We'll touch on Patriots Day and other things in the city a little bit later. Lisa, same question for you. What was the atmosphere like in this year's running of the marathon?
Yeah, like Julie said, it was perfect, actually. That seemed to be the theme of the race this year. And as media, we were able to attend the press conference following the race with the winners of the race and with the race director and Tom Grilk, the CEO of the BAA. And the race director and Tom Grilk both described this as the perfect year. And it was. Everything went perfectly, from the logistics of getting runners on the buses to the start on time, to get everyone through the course safely. 98.4% of the runners that started, of the 25,314 runners that started, finished the race. And everyone did so well, and they said that from a logistical standpoint, this year went perfect. And it seemed to be very fitting, like Julie said, after coming back from, it had been 1,099 days since the Boston Marathon was held on Patriots Day in 2019. So coming back after that really long hiatus and sort of an anomalous year in October of 2021, coming back to have that perfect day seemed really really fitting, and that's how I would summarize it. It really was the perfect day.
Yeah, awesome. I looked at a lot of the video and the pictures from this year's marathon. It looked like a festive event, as always, in the city of Boston. Lisa, I'd like to start off with you on this question. In your opinion, what were the differences between this year's marathon and, as you alluded to, last year's marathon? Because last year's marathon was in October. It was in the fall. So what, in your opinion, what were the differences between this year's marathon and last year's marathon?
Well, in October, there were a lot of COVID protocols that had been implemented, including a smaller field size and a rolling start. So actually, athletes were bused to the start in rolling waves, and as soon as you got off the bus, you just went to the start line and ran across the start line. There was no mass start to protect runners from the spread of COVID. Again, it was a smaller field, so it felt very different in October. Also, Boston in October is very different than Boston in April. The weather is different, just the vibe, the spirit of the city is a little bit different. It was still great, but it was a very different feel. It didn't feel quite like, really the biggest difference this year was that it was back to feeling like the Boston Marathon again on Patriots Day, back to the normal field size, back to the normal procedure for getting to the start and starting in waves. So everything felt like it was back to sort of the Boston Marathon that we've come to know over the years.
All right, Julie, same question for you. What were the differences between this year's marathon and last year's marathon?
I would absolutely echo what Lisa had to say. First of all, one thing that was different was, of course, as I mentioned before, the crowds were much more robust. And also in 2022, it was a celebration of the 50th anniversary of women running the Boston Marathon, and that was the theme, because it was supposed to be it was really wonderful, because while certainly the theme of the weekend was here we are back to quote unquote normal, being able to celebrate running in Boston on the weekend we're supposed to be running it, there was this overarching theme of celebrating women's running, and it was so special. And we had the opportunity, as Lisa mentioned, we had the opportunity to have press passes and attend media events. And as a result, we got to see some incredible women speakers, trailblazers, many of whom we interviewed on our own podcast, who talked about what it was like to run Boston during the early years and what they did to set the tone for women throughout the years, so that women like Lisa and me were able to easily run the Boston Marathon as a result of all the work that they did in advance.
Awesome. Now, ladies, any one of you can answer this question first. You mentioned about the marathon in 2021 last year being in the fall in October, and the marathon going back to its original Patriots Day start in April. I want to ask you, any one of you can answer first, what was the attendance like of this year's marathon? Are there any official numbers that have been released?
Yeah, actually, I have those. So participants, there were 25,314 runners that started the race. There were over 9,000, close to 10,000 volunteers. So, you know, that alone, I don't think there was an estimate on spectators. Like Julie said, they seem to be back in full force. But the Greater Boston Convention and Visitors Bureau did estimate that there had been an infusion into the Boston economy of $200 million over the course of the weekend, which just tells you how many people came into Boston, stayed in Boston, spent their money in Boston. That's huge. So, you know, we would estimate, you know, that they're probably close to, I wouldn't even venture to estimate, but I think, you know, wouldn't be surprised if there were close to a million spectators out on the course.
It seemed like a lot of people out there, Lisa, just from watching the video and looking at some of the pictures. I want to stay just with related to the attendance, Lisa. You mentioned about the Boston Visitors Convention Bureau and the money that was being poured into the money that was being spent in the city and the surrounding areas. I noticed that with Boston being such a huge track and field city, there's a lot of shoe companies like New Balance and Converse, to be exact. Did they have any involvement, or do they have any involvement in the marathon? And if so, what were the numbers in terms of how much money they made during this year's marathon?
Yes, all the, you know, with Boston being Boston Marathon, all of the shoe companies come out. Adidas is the official sponsor. I'm going to let Julie talk a little bit about some of the shoe companies. Well,
companies are very heavily involved, and frankly, a lot of the athletes, of course, are sponsored by different shoe companies. But we've noticed a trend, and this could be a separate topic on your show, that the most popular shoes right now, of course, are shoes that have carbon plates, and most, if not all, professional athletes, and many of the amateur athletes running are wearing athletic shoes with running shoes rather carbon plates. Nike, of course, is the company that started this, and frankly, the Nike shoe continues to be the most popular carbon plate shoe. Very popular athletes out there who represent other shoe companies, and they too are wearing carbon plate shoes. There's also, in Boston, interestingly, some athletes that are unsponsored. And, in fact, the top American athlete this year, Nell Rojas, who placed 10th female overall, she was sponsored by the Boston Marathon. And last minute, right before the race, she decided not to continue to be sponsored by Adidas. She explained that the footwear wasn't working for her. And probably it wasn't, and as a result, she wore a different shoe. And I think that trend, and this is just an opinion, I think this makes the claim that these carbon plate shoes are a legal advantage. They don't want to be at a disadvantage in terms of placement and money, because, of course, when you place in a race like Boston, you are earning cash by being committed to a shoe that may not work for them just because that shoe is their sponsor. So I don't know if that answers your question, Ed, but I think there are many shoe companies involved in Boston. Adidas is the official sponsor, but the athletes out there on the course, for the most part, seem to be wearing Nike, and that includes professional and amateurs.
That answered my question. Thank you so much for replying back, Julie. I want to stay with you, Julie. Alisa mentioned about with the Visitors Convention Bureau in Boston on how people showed up in numbers, in a robust number this year, and they spent money in the city of Boston. I want to ask you, in your opinion, Julie, how did the city of Boston respond to this year's marathon?
Well, the city of Boston is very unique. While there are marathons in major cities throughout the United States, what's unique about Boston is that the entire city gets behind the marathon. From the moment you land at the airport until the moment you leave, everything that weekend is about Boston, whether you are spectating, running, or none of the above.
I'll continue what she had to say. The city of Boston is always, I think, in my opinion, I think Julie would agree too, is probably the most enthusiastic and supportive Boston marathon city. The city is, like I said, one of the most receptive and supportive. You arrive at the airport and the signs in the airport say welcome marathoners. You know, as soon as you get into the city streets, there are signs everywhere welcome marathoners. So it is definitely a, like I said, in our experiences and all the marathons we've done in the major cities, New York, Chicago, all the major cities, the marathon's a big event, but not everybody gets behind it. Not everybody knows what's going on. Not everybody's coming out to spectate. In Boston, it feels like everyone is. So, I think it's a mutually beneficial relationship. The runners love to come to Boston and be supported by the city, and the city obviously loves and benefits from the runners coming in for that weekend. And most of the runners are in for not, you know, John, it's a Monday race. Most of the runners come in on Friday or Saturday and are there until Tuesday. So it's many days of influx of runners.
While I have you here, Lisa, I wanted to ask you, where did the Boston Marathon rank in terms of popularity in the Boston sports scene this year? Because we know the Red Sox are always a winner. The Red Sox have been consistent for quite a long time, always winning, and baseball season is right at the beginning when the marathon happens. And, of course, the Boston Celtics had a fantastic season. They didn't win the NBA championship, but they still had a fantastic season. So I wanted to ask you, Lisa, in your opinion, where did the marathon rank in terms of popularity in the Boston sports scene this year?
Julie wants to chime in there. I think our personal perception is that the marathon ranks higher than all of the other sports, but I don't know if Julie has anything she wants to add with respect to those other sports.
You know, Ed, I think the difference between the marathon and the other sports that you mentioned is that the marathon is free for folks to spectate. They don't need to buy tickets. And that's a beautiful thing. And another reason, in our opinion, that the Boston Marathon trumps it all is that it's steeped in history. And, of course, as I mentioned earlier, this year the Boston Marathon celebrated the 50th anniversary of women running the Boston Marathon. So it had a very special element to it that we believe trumps the other sports in the Boston area. Finally, this goes back to COVID, Boston – in addition to the Red Sox, where, of course, you're spectating outside, it's presumably safer, of course, being outside spectating an event versus inside. As we mentioned before, one can spectate how they want to. And with so many people having sort of different comfort levels with respect to COVID and being in crowds, Boston continues to be a safe way to spectate a very important historical sport in the city of Boston, without having to be necessarily super confined with other people. There's plenty of space out there to spectate, to be involved, and to be creative in your spectating. And as a result, it is just so different than the other professional sports teams you mentioned. It's just unique, and I kind of don't think we can really compare it because it's more of an experience. And even people who aren't fans of running come out to watch Boston, and frankly, they probably aren't paying attention much to the race. They're just out there to experience the joy of watching people do hard things.
And I'd add one more thing, too. The real difference between, you know, those professional sports and the marathon is that marathoners like us, who are everyday marathoners, who obviously have to qualify for Boston or raise money for a charity to participate in Boston, but we get to participate on the same course, on the same stage as the professionals. So those, you know, runners that you just played the clips of winning, like, we are out there on the same course at the same time as those. So you don't get to say that about, about any of the other teams. You don't get to see recreational players out on the same field as the professional players. And we got to do that. And that, I think, is a really notable, something notable about the marathon.
Awesome. I want to ask you, what were your placings in this year's marathon?
Well, we'll have to go pull those up. My finish time was 3:19. I don't know exactly where that placed me. I'd have to go back and look at the statistics and, you know, where that placed me. Boston is obviously come in with a really fast field. So even a time like 3:19, which is a good, you know, solid finish time for a marathon, probably puts you mid-pack versus, you know, top of the pack in another race.
Pleased to share that we re-qualified for the Boston Marathon at Boston. So what that means, Ed, is Boston is a unique race in that you can't just run it. You have to qualify at another marathon during a certain time period in order to run it. So it's an honor to even run it. So to be able to qualify at the previous year's Boston for the next year's Boston means that neither Lisa nor I have to run a qualifying race. We both now are entered for 2023 because of our times in 2022. So that is, for both of us, that's always kind of our primary goal, is to do the best we can, but to re-qualify and know we have a time in the books that will allow us to return the next year. And we're also pleased to share, we have a lot of runners we coach. We are coaches for runners all over the country who train year-round to either qualify for Boston or run Boston. And all of our runners did so well on the course, and we're just so proud of them.
Awesome. Well, congratulations to you, too, for qualifying for next year's marathon. I know it's a race that's very competitive, and as you've said so brilliantly on this show, that it's a race for all comers and people that are everyday marathoners, so congratulations on that. And you mentioned about the last time that I had you ladies on the program, it was the 50th anniversary of women participating in the Boston Marathon. And, Julie, I want to start off with you. I want to ask you, how can more women get involved in the sport of running?
Well, Ed, I don't know if this is going to answer your question directly, but I think the issue at this point is not specifically how to get more women involved. It's how to get more communities involved in running. Running is, even though it doesn't seem this way, running can be an expensive sport, and running is a sport where you need access. You need access to safe trails, paths, and neighborhoods to run on, and you need access to information and groups that are encouraging. So, yes, of course, we want more women involved. We always do. But at this point, there are sometimes more women than men at these races. So now it's more looking at communities and saying, how can we have better representation in running? There are certain communities where people don't have the ability to run safely on the roads, and that's important. And everyone should have access to places to run, places to be outside to run freely and safely. So at this point, we sort of look at races as an opportunity to showcase, hey, if you don't think you can do this, look out there and look at all of the folks that are just like you, that are out there running, all shapes, sizes, genders, colors, whatever it is, and you can do this too. So at this point, we look at the running community and races as fostering more representation, more equality, and ensuring that all communities have access to train and run these races.
All right, Lisa, same question.
Yeah, I think Julie hit all the highlights, and really representation matters, seeing other women out running, training, running these races, doing well, always helps. The running community has made great strides, as opposed to other sports and other areas. Often the percentage of the field in these races is 50% or more women. So clearly women are recognizing the benefits of running, mental health benefits, the physical health benefits, the community. Oftentimes, women in particular, we notice in our coaching that women appreciate having a community, so a group to train with, group runs to go on. So I would encourage women who are interested in getting into running to look at your local community running groups, find some support, reach out to a coach. We coach a lot of women who appreciate having a woman's perspective as a coach, so get guidance. But it is a great sport to go into, and like I said, the representation is pretty even now, so we're really happy about that.
Awesome, and you heard it from them. It's Julie Sapper and Lisa Levin from the Run Farther and Faster podcast. Ladies, again, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. Just tell us about what's going on over at Run Farther and Faster.
Sure. We are really excited to be coaching athletes of all levels for distances from the 5K to, of course, the marathon. And we've been doing this for many years. We're on our 12th year of coaching, and we coach runners all over the country by using a platform called Final Surge that allows us to look at our runners' data, communicate with them, and tailor a schedule based on their own personal schedules and needs. And in addition to our podcast and our coaching, we also just love getting out there and spreading the word that running is just such a wonderful activity for people of all ages, sizes, genders, whatever, and that it's accessible and with the right tools and information, anyone can run and be successful at it. And running is a wonderful parallel to life, because those who take on athletic challenges, those often translate to other types of challenges where they realize they can succeed at things they never thought they were imaginable.
Lisa, you want to add anything to that?
No, Julie summed it up well. And, have really enjoyed, we brought on, right after Boston, actually, we brought on a very large group of new runners, or new to us runners, new coaching clients. And our coaching, we don't know if it has to do with Boston or with the podcast and our discussions of Boston or people being inspired by Boston, but right after we got back from Boston, we had an influx of a huge amount of new virtual coaching clients, which actually led us to kind of close our roster for a little bit. So we'll hopefully be taking new clients again in the fall after these clients have their goal races. But I think people are inspired by marathons like Boston, and it causes them to come out and set their own goals. And we've been just happy to be able to help guide those runners toward their goals.
Awesome. And ladies, tell everybody where they can find you, Julie, on social media, Lisa, where they can find you on social media, as well as Run Farther and Faster, and any websites that you would like to promote. Let the listeners know that as well.
Sure. So you can find us on our website is runfartherandfaster.com. We're also on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter under Run Farther and Faster.
Awesome, awesome. And you heard it from them. It's Julie Sapper and Lisa Levin. They are the host of the Run Farther and Faster podcast, where it's dedicated to getting running enthusiasts about this, getting them involved in the sport of running. Also, they teach running classes as well, give you the insights on the sport of running. Ladies, thank you so much again for taking time out of your busy schedule. And if ever you want to come back on, just feel free to let us know.
Oh, thank you so much, Ed. It's an honor and a pleasure to talk with you. And thanks for thinking of us. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome anytime, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Comes out of the shadows of the Boston Public Library, gets one more direction to the finish. And Evans Chebet, embraced by this Patriots Day crowd in Boston, will be the 2022 Boston Marathon champion, besting the deepest field in history. Evans Chebet, your winner.
I do think Yesenia's knees are coming higher, which is better in a sprint. They missed the course record, but they're going to come awfully close. And as soon as I say that, Jessie Tier comes through. She just has so much strength and so much willpower. She is just willing herself to throw in another surge and another surge.
And now Chepchechir with the lead and maybe a stride. Can Yeshine respond one more time, or it will be the Olympic champion coming through? They can see the finish line now on Boylston Street. And when one of the greatest races in Boston Marathon history on the 50th anniversary of the first ever women's elite field, the best marathoner in the world on the women's side is going to come through with a victory, but needed every stride to get to the finish line first. Paris Chepchechir is the Boston champion.
Industry leading, difference making, tomorrow shaping, world changing. These are a few of the adjectives people use to describe the technologies and companies Deloitte works with day in and day out. Join us, and soon those very same adjectives could describe your career too. Explore technology careers at Deloitte.com/tech careers and make an impact on business, technology, and society while engineering your future. At Deloitte.
At the World of Weights, getting the heavy stuff to gym owners across the world is an easy lift because they've got Salesforce Customer 360, the number one CRM. It unites their teams around all their customers so marketing can predict what each gym needs.
Ooh, the deluxe dumbbells.
Sales can get the orders out.
And overnight? Wow!
And every employee can smash their numbers this quarter. See how uniting your teams can help you wow customers at salesforce.com/customer360.
You could save big when you bundle your home and auto with Progressive, but when we just come out and say it, it feels like it falls a bit flat. So we're going to use humor. But we don't want to insult your intelligence, so nothing too goofy. And we need to avoid any polarizing topics. Oh, and it has to be about how you can save big when you bundle your home and auto with Progressive. You know what? Maybe humor is a bad idea. Yeah, it's never going to work. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Everybody, that's going to do it for another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. Once again, a big special thank you to Julie Sapper and Lisa Levin, the host of the Run Farther and Faster podcast. Thanks again for taking time out of their busy schedule to be with us on the program, giving us a recap of the 2022 running of the Boston Marathon. Until next time, remember, put God first in everything you do and you can't go wrong. Until next time, stick to the script. I'm out. Peace.
At the United States Postal Service, we deliver fast and affordably for small biz, big box, large scale, wholesale, retail, B2B, B2C, ASAP. USPS, delivering for America. Learn more at USPS.com/delivering.